Okay, Peter, thank you for inviting me along. It's really interesting to see Waratah Rivulet. I'd like you to talk a little about why you organised this trip.
The problem with the Waratah Rivulet is one that's been very much ignored, overlooked, in part because it's on land that's difficult for public to access. It's managed by the Sydney Catchment Authority, and I think it is important for the broader community to get a sense of what damage mining is doing in this very important water catchment area. I mean, not only is this an important catchment area, it's an area where there are fragile ecosystems and habitats, so there's damage being done to our water supply, damage being done to the biodiversity areas in this location, so it's important for people to realise what's happening almost behind closed doors.
Just describe the sorts of things that you've seen in the river. How's the river been damaged? Just exactly what have you seen?
Well, this morning we've seen significant cracking in the river. We've seen significant rocks that have been displaced as a result of subsidence. So there's evidence of deep cracking into the riverbed, so presumably cracking further down below into the Hawkesbury sandstone. There's evidence of attempts at remediation work by Peabody, the people currently operating the mine, which has seemed to be very, very ineffective. And my understanding is it's been constantly ongoing, so they're essentially fighting a losing battle, is the sense you get.
Hi Pat, it's Sharon, and we're walking up the Waratah Rivulet. Oh, I'm looking at a pool and it looks pretty disgusting to me, given the fact that this is going to be part of our drinking water supply in southern Sydney. What do you think's happening here?
I think the cracking in the creek further up is allowing iron into the water. That's why you're getting the colour. It's the disturbance. I'm just glad I drink tank water. I don't have to actually give this to my family.
Why are we laughing? This is an absolutely bizarre situation.
Look
at it.
You can laugh
it's
or cry.
It's disgusting.
You can't keep crying for years and years every time a mine cracks a house, dries out a river or knocks down a cliff, you'd end up in the funny farm.
In this situation, the water's here because obviously we've had so much rainfall, but in this pool, it's clearly discoloured and there's also that nasty iron-rich scum on the bottom.
Gary Scher, I'm the Secretary of the Southern Sydney Branch of National Parks Association of New South Wales. Well, look, we're in a spot where Peabody has been working for a couple of years. We don't know the exact amount, but it's at least a couple of years. You know, we're looking at a very long-term process here. There are still long walls going under this section of the Waratah Rivulet, and the theory is to plug it up with this polyurethane, you know. That's to decrease the chances of water, surface water, disappearing down into cracks and potentially decreasing the amount of drinking water available to the Warranora Dam catchment. We're unsure about the degree of monitoring and how effective it's really been, but I just want to say something from the point of view of the loss of naturalness that is in this rock bar. You know, here is a beautiful stream reach and it's now marked by cracks and then the unnatural looking colour of the oozed out polyurethane around here. We've got multiple boreholes where either testing or the material is about to be poured down, and it doesn't look like a natural place anymore. It'll never be the same again, despite millions of dollars that we know the company is putting into so-called rehabilitating this area. We'd much rather see it prevented, of course.
Michael, where do you live? Do you mind me asking?
I live in Colcliffe.
Fortunately, you don't have to drink this water.
I don't. I don't. Well, if it goes in the Warranora River into the Warranora catchment, maybe. It's just ridiculous. This is Crown land. This is our land.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to get permission to come in here, I understand because of the damage that humans can do to our drinking water, but I can't see how the conflict can be that they allow these people in here drilling and polluting the water as they are, as opposed to letting humans walk. It's just,
I think, you know, what's the fine if we're in here bushwalking?
Is it 11,000, 12,000, something around that, if you're caught walking in here without the authority?
Okay, Jeremy, you're an MP and you're visiting the Waratah Rivulet with a group of community people and environmental representatives as well. What's happening here and what's your reaction to it?
What we're seeing here is what we see again and again with mining, and that's adaptive management. The mines come in, they have a massive impact on the natural environment, and then they try to fix what the mess they've created. I call it the Humpty Dumpty adaptive management technique, and what we've got here is a beautiful rivulet, and it's falling into pieces. We've got a rivulet that's been here for hundreds of thousands of years, unchanged, beautiful water, supplying Sydney, but we're seeing massive changes to the riverbed. Huge slabs, hundreds of tons of sandstone, cracking, smashed, turning into little chips and washing away.
We've walked in after being driven in through locked gates. What sort of public access is there to these sites? Who sees these things?
Absolutely no one. This is an incredibly restricted area. The special catchment area is restricted. It's Crown land, but if you walk in here without approval, it's an $11,000 fine. But the mining companies are just coming and going as they please. They're doing really whatever they like in here. We've got them drilling in the riverbed. They're pumping epoxy resin into the cracks in the river. There's all kinds of machinery everywhere, pipes, who knows what. It's a massive impact. So for such a what should be a pristine area, such an important drinking water supply, to see the mining companies making such a huge mess is a real concern. I'd be calling on the government to rule out any more mining, long wall or open cut or coal seam gas in our drinking water catchments. I've got a bill before Parliament that's seeking to ban, completely prohibit all coal seam gas in our drinking water catchments because it poses a risk. And I think that any sane person who is looking to the future and our drinking water supplies would rule out any more long walling in the Illawarra Plateau and in our special catchment areas.
It's Jeremy Buckingham, State MP for the Greens, finishing off that special series of interviews done by Sharon Cullis from the Georges River Environment Action Group on the banks of the Waratah Rivulet. We gave the Peabody Energy people that interview yesterday to ask them for a response to make sure they were able to hear it. Jennifer Morgans is Vice President of External Affairs at Peabody Energy and joins us now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, these people we heard from are not engineers, but most of them would know what a natural, clean river or rivulet looks like. How do you explain what's been done to that river?
Are you talking about the water flow, water colour, the water quality?
Well, all of the above. They mentioned the colour, they mentioned the scum on the bottom and the lack of water flow.
Well, the water colour is due to the iron precipitation, and this is a natural process where the iron is naturally present in sandstone. And this dilutes into the water and is precipitated out when the water aerates as it splashes over the rocks. Now, the area that they saw where mining has occurred, yes, it has happened. And it also occurs in other areas of the catchment where mining has not occurred. And it's the same natural phenomenon.
So you're suggesting this would have happened regardless of the mining going underneath it? That the iron would have gone into the water, would have discoloured it in the same way?
Nick, when we were doing the approval process, we took people from the Sydney Catchment Authority, as well as the Planning Assessment Commission, to many other areas in the catchment where mining has not occurred, and the same discoloration was occurring due to the natural iron precipitation.
Okay. Right, so you're saying they haven't seen the before and after. They're just looking at the after, and they are assuming that colour is because of mining.
Well, we'd be very happy to take the same group up to different areas of the rivulet to show them the same natural occurrence.
Okay. How confident can we be that polyurethane filler will seal those cracks and stop any further water leakage?
Well, the remediation with the PUR was run as a pilot program first, and this was audited by independent experts who found that the remediation was successful and there was absolutely no impact on water flow or quality. Now, this is a very proven method and is carried out under very strict guidelines.
What about contamination coming the other way while the cracks are still open? Water is going down one way, but perhaps other contaminants are coming up the other way, and this is something that's been assumed by those people we heard from. Do we get any contamination of the river from the cracks from underneath?
Well, that's a very very good question, Nick. And the FCA have recently conducted a three-year scientific investigation to measure any surface water loss or quality above the mining zone. And they used a coloured tracer. And this was conducted under high flow conditions. And it was concluded that surface water entering any cracks within the mining affected area returned to surface downstream of the mining zone with no impact.
We know that other mining companies have accepted responsibility for cracking rivers and water loss in the past in the Illawarra, you know, the cataract for a start. Why is this one different? Has the technology moved on?
Oh, absolutely. This is very proven and unique technology. It's been used successfully overseas and we've actually enhanced that technology. But one thing to remember is that the Metropolitan Coal Approved Mine Plan is recognised as being very conservative in relation to mining below and about stored waters. And this substantiates our scientific evidence that the mining has not had an impact on the quality or quantity of the water entering the reservoir. And even more importantly, you know, the mine itself, we've sacrificed 8.5 million tonnes of coal, and this is really to provide an environmental pillar, if you will. And this environmental pillar around different areas of the catchment affords protection not only to the catchment itself and to the water flow, but to a number of Aboriginal heritage sites, a number of cliff lines, all in the same area.
And regardless of water flow issues and water contamination issues, what we're left with is a riverbank which has a riverbed, which is cracked and now filled with polyurethane. Is this just something that the community will have to accept for the economic benefits and jobs that coal mining provides?
Well, when you say we're left with, I mean, the remediation at the moment, we've entered the final phase, which comprises drilling of around 20-metre deep test boreholes and allowing the grout curtain to measure the permeability and to confirm that all the cracks have been filled. Now, this is due to be concluded soon, so then we will have another assessment. And we are very, very happy to welcome another group to conduct a visit to the rivulet under safe conditions, having expertise on hand to answer any questions. And I'm sure this will result in accurate and balanced report, making sure that the public are well aware that, you know, like any impact that man has, including the dam, the Warrinora Dam itself, there will be an impact to the natural environment, but we're going to help minimise that. And we accept that there's a social cost and we accept that there's an economic cost, but we, Peabody, will abide by all of the outcomes of the planning process, the approval process, and making sure that we work under these very strict guidelines to carry out this work.
Mm. Do you accept that there's an environmental cost?
I think everything that man does, personally myself, has an environmental cost, but like every company, Peabody is working very, very diligently to minimise its impact. We have we are globally recognised for all the work we do in both environment and community. You know, I think perhaps in this last 12 months alone, we've been awarded maybe over 30 global awards. So we take it very seriously, and we're working together with the community. We have a very transparent view with the community. We have newsletters, public forums, website updates, Triple C meetings. We're opening a kiosk in Helensburg in the new year, just to make sure that we work with the community to minimise these impacts.
All right, Jennifer Morgans, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much.